chapter 12. Is Mother Wilson here? On Friday, Mama Wilson celebrated her 92nd birthday. Amen. Love you, Mom. Love you, Mom. 92nd birthday. That's a blessing nowadays. That's a blessing nowadays. Genesis chapter 12. If you turn in pages and you're seeing Matthew and Mark and Luke, come to Bible study. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord has spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and to the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanites was then in the land. Verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and High on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Verse 9. And Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south. The final verse says, and there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now I want you to notice something. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. Verses 1 and 2. This is God himself talking to Abram. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. This is God talking. I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now look at verse 10 again. And there was a famine. Oh, y'all not feeling me on this morning. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt and sojourned there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Believing beyond what you see. Believing beyond what you see. Friends, let me begin by declaring to you that you and I are blessed right now, if for no other reason than because we know what God has already promised us. In other words, what we need to understand is that if we need to see ourselves and call ourselves blessed, not solely based on the things that we have or the success that we've achieved. We need to see ourselves as blessed, not just because everything around us is perfect, just because everything in our life seems to be heading in the right direction. But saints, we're blessed simply because, get this, We're in a relationship with a God who cares about us. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? That means even if we never acquire a lot of things, can I say it like I want to say it? If we never acquire a lot of stuff, we're blessed because we serve a God who already promised us a future and a hope. And we're blessed because despite what some may see in front of them right now, we serve a God who spoke a word that will not fail. Mm-hmm. Saints, in this text, believing that we're blessed simply because of something God has already promised is what we find the father of Israel, Abraham, dealing with on this morning. Because you remember, while he was in his father's house, you remember the story, everything was fine, everything was perfect. While in Ur, the Bible says he amassed enormous amounts of cattle and land. He amassed enormous amounts of silver and gold. Saints, he had so much that he was blessed. His kinfolks was blessed. Everybody that knew him was blessed. This man had everything he could imagine. But then one day, God spoke to him, listen, and God said, leave where you are. Leave that place that you consider your comfort place and follow me to a new place. Mm. And saints, that caught my attention because I got a question for you. What do you do when life is comfortable, but then God's plan for your life is what causes the shakeup? Let me ask that again. I said, what do you do when life is comfortable, but then God's plan for your life is what causes the shakeup? In other words, I know every time we hit a roadblock in our life, I know we've been conditioned to blame it on the devil. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. The blood of Jesus. I know every time we experience a setback, we've been programmed to plead the blood and to rebuke the enemy and cast him out. But what do you do when you really stop and think about it and realize that some of the stuff you're dealing with now didn't start until you said yes? What do? When you realize that what you're experiencing now is actually not the devil, but it's God stretching your faith to do more for you. Anybody feeling me on today? Yes, the question is, what do you do when the plan of God is the thing that's causing the issue? Oh, y'all don't want me to be real? In your life. Well, what Abram did, is that he believed God anyway. Somebody say anyway. And he obeyed. In other words, I can see Abram saying, God, I'm not really sure what you up to. You ever been in that place in your life where God is leading you? You say, God, I'm not really sure what you up to, but since it's you, God, my answer is okay. I can hear Abram saying, God, you know what? You never heard me say I had a problem in Haran. Oh, God. You never heard me say I had a problem in Ur. You came along and told me to move. Now I've run into this famine, but if you tell me to go, I'll go. Yes, the Bible says simply because he believed, he obeyed God and went on his way. And saints, that's a word for somebody on this morning. Because when you get finished talking about how much you trust God, can I meddle a little bit on this morning? Mm-hmm. When you get finished discussing all you want God to do for you, you know, we're great at saying, I want God to take me to the next level. I want God to move me in to the next dimension. Well, that's okay, but I need to tell you up front, in order to see God move like that, it's going to require some sure enough faith and trust in his word. I know what I'm talking about. You see, a whole lot of folks desire to reach new heights in God, but what the word clearly says is to whom much is given, much is required. And you see, that's why sometimes we've got to be able to declare to ourselves, God, I want to do greater things. So God, I'm willing to exercise greater faith. If you want God to do more, God, I'm willing to give more. God, because I want this year to be better than last year, I'm willing to trust you like I've never trusted you before. I'm getting ready to trust you for some impossible stuff. Trust you for some things that really seem ridiculous. Trust you for some things that when I shared it with people, they told me I had lost my mind and I was crazy. Trust you with some stuff that in the natural eye, I'm not even supposed to be thinking about it. But because I want more, I trust you more. Why? Because we've got to get to a place where we don't just talk about it, but we've got to really want what God has in store for our life. You praying for me on this morning? So watch this. Abram is out of daddy's house. Mm-hmm. He's walking in complete obedience. Ain't no sin in there yet. He ain't sin. He's doing exactly, somebody say exactly. Exactly what God has called him to do. But then, saints, while he set out, packed his bags, got his backpack. He told his family, listen, I heard a word from the Lord. God told me we go into a blessed place. Y'all get all your stuff ready. We getting ready to go. He packs his bags. He arrives in Canaan only to find out there's a famine. Oh, somebody's with me on this morning. There's a famine in the land. Now understand, that seems like a problem. Why? Because let's just be real. I didn't come to Canaan on my own. I didn't just wake up one day and say, guess what, y'all? We going to Canaan. But God's the one. Told me I want you to go somewhere so I can bless you. God's the one that said I'm sending you to a place where I'm going to make your name great. God's the one that said, I'm sending to a place where I'm going to bless you, your seed, and your seed. But then when he gets there, what he sees looks nothing like, oh God, what God is saying. Listen, people of God, there comes a time in your life where you just got to know that you know that you in the will of God. You can't just know it when doors are opening. You can't just know it when your preaching itinerary is full. Oh, I didn't expect no amens right there. You can't just know it when miracles are happening. You can't just know it when money's in your pocket. You can't just know it when you're moving forward. But there comes a time when even in a dry season, you've got to be able to say, I yet can't move because I know I'm in the right place, even in the wilderness. You've got to be able to declare, I cannot stop because I know if I just be faithful, I shall reap if I faint not. Saints, Abram, reason why I preach this message on today, it's because despite what Abram was dealing with, he was able to believe God beyond what he saw. How do you know that, Pastor? Because despite all he was up against, this man refused to stop believing. Now, you got to understand, it was bad enough there was no food. Boy, I'm enjoying myself. It was bad enough there were no resources in the land. But stick with me. What you also need to understand is that when he got there, he found the Canaanites.
in the land, his enemies, and they wanted to fight. In other words, no food, no water, no provision, no resources, and now the enemy.
Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about on it. You ever been in a place where it just seemed like it just keep coming? Oh, God. Every time your phone ring, it's something else. He was in one of those seasons where every time he went to his mailbox. You ever been in a place you don't even want to answer your phone no more? Oh, I wish I had some real folks. Call, phone, call. Nah, I don't want to take that call. Oh, y'all too deep for me on this morning. Everywhere he turned, he was running into issues. But look at what he did in verse 7. He didn't start complaining and grumbling and telling God how unfair his situation was. That's a whole message right there. He didn't start questioning God. You know that favorite question we ask, why? Well, y'all know it. Why me, God? When you needed somebody to lead the prayer, I was there. Oh, I better leave that alone. When you needed somebody to open the church, I was there. He didn't pull an Elijah and say, you know what? I ain't doing it no more. Let me go find myself a good old juniper tree and have me a real good pity. Oh, God. But watch this, in the midst of all he was dealing with, watch this, the Bible says all he did was he went and built an altar. Y'all waiting on me to tune up. I'm preaching right now. He built an altar unto his God. God, I don't understand my dilemma, but I'm not going to let that interfere with my worship. My God. I know what my enemy's about to do, but before they get here, I'm going to give you some praise. I'm going to seek your face. In the midst of all of his trouble, he said, I'm going to put that on hold and go spend time with my God. I need your prayer, seasoned saints, because I need to say something. Say that again. They didn't hear you, Elise. They didn't hear you. Say that again. Thank you. I came to tell somebody. You know your faith is real. This is how you can tell whether it's real or not. When you can find a way to yet give God worship in the midst of a trial. Wait a minute, Pastor. I was going through, but I yet gave him a praise. Sinners can praise him. Pastor, I lost my job, but I didn't lose my dance. You know, I ain't gonna deal with dancing. But when you can lay down on your face and say, God, I ain't working, but I give you worship. God, I'm I have any worshipers in the house on this morning that love him because he's God.
You see,
I like that because you see, I've been raised up in the church, and you see, what the old folks used to teach us is that it's easy to worship when everything is well. Don't base your worship on a good season. It's easy to, I'm getting up at 4 a.m. and laying on my, it's easy to give him worship when it ain't your children in trouble. It's easy to give him worship when your body don't have the affliction. But if you want to find some folks that, I mean, sure enough, believe. Find some folks that are yet calling out to him, even when you know the devil is acting crazy in their life.
yet laying on their face, even when you know they yet got a negative report. And understand, they're giving God worship not because they're excited about the illness, but because they know they got a promise. How many of y'all know you got a promise? I may be sick now, but I got a promise of healing coming my way. I may be broke now, but I got a promise of prosperity coming my way. I may be facing a brick wall now, but oh God, I feel an answer coming my way. I need some faith folks to give him some praise in this house. Come on and praise him.
What I'm trying to tell somebody on this morning is that if you really want to see God's blessings pouring into your life, we need to let God know that despite what I go through, oh God, anybody going through anything? I know it's only the 17th of the new year and you don't want to admit it because you crossed over into a new place, but your neighbor ain't looking. But is anybody going through anything already? Already, man, that joke, I better leave that alone. Despite what I'm facing, it will not hinder what I owe you, God. How many know you owe God worship despite your dilemma? You owe God praise despite your trial. Gotta give you worship. Why? Because in your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is where I find my strength. In your presence is where I find my joy. In your presence is where my needs are met. One writer showed up and said, when the praises go up, the blessings are come down. So I may be in a fight now, but God, I will not shut down. I will not turn back. I will not give up. I will not hold back my worship. Because I believe, how many of y'all believe on this morning? I believe that you're able to bring your word to pass. Well, I'm out of here. But lastly, Abram proved that he really believed. Get this. Because despite his circumstance, saints, he didn't go back. Mm-hmm. Now you see, listen to the text. God told him emphatically. God said, leave your father's house. Mm-hmm. God said, leave your kinfolks. Mm-hmm. That was God talking. But when you get home, study the text for yourself. What you are not going to find is where Abram left his daddy's house on a bad note. Mm-hmm. In other words, follow me, he didn't leave Haran or Ur because there was a family dispute. Mm-hmm. God didn't call him away from his kinfolks because they were hating on him and trying to kill him. But according to my studies, Abram left on good terms. Now, let's just be real on this morning. He left his daddy's house on good terms. When he arrived in Canaan, he found a famine. Now, what would you have done? I'm sure his first thought was, if I turn around, oh. Y'all too deep for me. If I turn around and go back home, I got plenty of food. If I turn around and go back home, all my needs are met. He said, I could easily just throw in the towel, tell God maybe I didn't hear you, and go back to where I started. He could have went back. And guess what? They would have welcomed him back. Watch out for folks that want to welcome you back from your destiny. Well, you tried it, but, you know, I told you maybe that wasn't God. You got out there, but I told you maybe you were trying to take on two. No, the devil is a... He could have went back. But thank God that he believed the word of God so much that he said, even though I got food at daddy's house, I'm going to keep on going. Even though I know everything I desire is in earth, I'm going to keep on moving forward. I came to encourage some folks as I get ready to take my seat that know something about a press. How many of y'all know something about a press? I'm talking about some folks that sometimes have thought to themselves and asked themselves the question, why am I doing all of this? Now, I'm going to need some real folks here. Some folks that have said, it was easier for me when I was in the background. It was easier before I announced my calling. It was easier before they found out I could sing. It was easier before they found out I had some leadership ability. It was easier before I told God yes. Oh, I wish y'all were being real with me on the day. Easier where you came from. I came to tell you on this morning, despite what you see all around you, don't you dare stop believing God. Ah, my God. Don't you dare stop doing what you're doing. You keep on moving forward. Because I declare that what is ahead of you is better than what you left behind. Ooh-wee. You thought God blessed you last year. You thought God blessed you in the year 2007. You might be in a press now, but you keep moving forward. You stay focused on what God has said. You stay focused on the will of God. Because I decree that in this season now, God is getting ready to turn this thing around. God is getting ready to usher you into a new season and a new harvest. I may be in a press right now, but I made up in my mind that I'm going to believe God. In order to make it in 2010, you've got to take on the mindset that come what may, it will not hinder my faith. Come what may, I will not turn around. Come what may, I know God is able. And because God, oh, I feel like preaching now. Because God is able, I'm going to stand. The Bible says that after you've done all to stand, just keep on standing. I came to tell you, if you just be faithful, your harvest is coming. If you just be faithful, your season is coming. It's rough now, but keep pressing. It's a trial now, but keep pressing. You're going through now, but keep fighting, and you shall reap. I said, you shall reap if you faint not. Somebody say yes. 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 Come on and give him praise, everybody. Come on and give him praise, everybody. Come on and give him praise. Hi, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, 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 hey. Hey. Hey! Everyone standing all over the auditorium, I'm done. Hey, Jesus, Jesus. Hey. Hey. Believing beyond what you see. Ah. If I could change my text, I'd say, believing beyond sometimes how you feel. You know, in order for us to really demonstrate faith, we have to allow our faith to be tested. Have to allow our faith to be tried. Otherwise, how do you know? just how strong your faith is. There are some of you in this auditorium, God has outlined and ordained some mighty things for your life. My God. That's why you keep running into situations where you know God sent you, doing things that you know God told you to do, being as faithful as you know how to be, but it seems like you keep running into things. But in the midst of it all, somebody declare, I believe God. Come on, you got to say it like you mean it. Say, I believe God. Hey. The Apostle Paul was on a ship that was being busted up and torn to pieces. Everybody was in a panic. But guess what? Paul just stayed as calm. See, he had been through a few things. He had been through some prison experience, but God brought him out. He had been beaten, but God brought him out. He had been hungry, but God met his need. So by the time that experience hit, Paul was just able to say, you know what? Y'all are in a panic, but I believe God. And guess what? Because of his faith, he made it. Oh, God. I came to tell somebody on this morning, you just keep on believing. Tell your neighbor, you're going to make it. Come on, you're going to make it. This thing didn't come to kill you. This thing didn't come to stop you. You're going to be just fine. You coming out. Oh, somebody should have broken to a praise right there. I said somebody should have broken to a praise. God spoke a word to somebody on this morning to remind you that you just got to keep on believing beyond what you see. I came to tell you on this third Sunday in January, no matter what it looks like, if God said it, keep on believing. God can't lie. Oh, God. I said God can't lie. I want to pray for some of you. I'm telling you now, I'm going to lay my hands on you and I'm going to send you back to your seat. I want to pray for some of you that are honest enough to admit, you know what, Pastor, that storm you were preaching about where I've just got to keep believing anyway, you know what, Pastor, I'm in that place right now. I just want to anoint you. You're going to make it, but you're going to make it better with some anointing on you. Come on, come on. If that's you, make your way to this altar. Can I get the rest of you to give God some glory in this place? Can I get the rest of you to give God some glory in this place? Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, you're going to make it. You're going to be just fine. Spread them out. Spread them out, Walker. Spread them out, Walker. Come on, Mahalia.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.